Welcome to the Infrastructure Show. I'm your host, Professor Joseph Schoffer of Northwestern University. The Infrastructure Show is designed to present to listeners the reality of America's infrastructure, its condition, why it is the way it is, and what can be done about it. Today's conversation is one of three we're having about the implications of the expanded Panama Canal for U.S. ports, harbors, and landside transportation infrastructure. The new locks and deeper channels, scheduled to open in the winter of 2016, will accommodate container ships nearly three times the size of the largest container ships now passing through the canal. My guest today is Caroline Mays, and she's the Freight Systems Branch Manager for the Texas Department of Transportation. And she's going to help us understand the landside infrastructure preparedness of Texas Gulf ports. So let me start out by saying, what is TxDOT's role in supporting freight transportation in and out of the major ocean ports?
We play a big role. You know, let me start kind of backtrack a little bit. About 2.5 years ago, Texas DOT created a working group called the Panama Canal Stakeholders Working Group. And at that time, that group was tasked with helping TxDOT understand the potential impacts of the Panama Canal expansion on the landside access issues to the Texas ports. And one of the key recommendations, that group met for about 6 months, and it was made up of elected officials, stakeholders, freight stakeholders, both private and public stakeholders. And after 6 months, they came up with a report and a couple of recommendations. One of the recommendations that came out of that plan was that Texas DOT needed to create a maritime division. And that was late 2012. And early 2013, TxDOT created a maritime division. So we're one of a few state DOTs that have a standalone maritime division. So that was really recognition that TxDOT needed to participate actively in addressing not just port issues, but understanding port issues and its impact on at least the highway side of the infrastructure.
So does your organization deal at all with the rail side?
Yeah, we actually, as a DOT, are kind of multimodal. And the way we're set up, I mentioned that we have a standalone maritime division. We also have a standalone rail division. And then my branch, which deals with all modes of freight, including the border, international border, it's kind of a different branch. And also we have an aviation division that deals with air cargo issues. So yeah, we kind of cover all freight modes, maybe with the exception of pipelines. But I look at pipelines too because I'm multimodal from a policy perspective, big picture.
So the freight systems branch, is that an entity that's over the modal units that you just described?
No. No, I'm not over those modal units, but I work with all those modal units to bring all of those separate freight areas into a multimodal unit. We're developing the freight plan, for instance, right now, and it's a multimodal plan that looks at ports, waterways, rail, air cargo, highway, border. So my role in my branch is to bring all of those together and kind of make sense out of it and create a multimodal freight program.
So your purview goes well beyond the ports, if I understand it correctly.
Yes. Yeah, I do ports, rail, highway, pipelines, air cargo, border, anything that moves goods.
So what are the Gulf ports in Texas that Texas DOT works with? What are the primary ports?
We work with all the ports in Texas, big and small, from Houston to, let's say, Port of Orange or Port of Victoria. So we work with all the ports.
Is Houston the largest by traffic volume?
Pretty much, yes.
And what are the landside modes that serve movements in and out of the Port of Houston?
Port of Houston has rail and highway, as well as the Gulf Intercoastal Waterway, and also pipelines. Yeah, I would say most of the modes, at least those four pipelines, Gulf Intercoastal Waterway, highway, and rail.
What are your expectations about the changes in the freight demand patterns and scale when the expanded Panama Canal opens next year?
I think, you know, one, I'll start by saying that as Texas, as general, as a state, I think, you know, we are very well positioned to take advantage of the Panama Canal expansion and then the opportunities that it will provide the state in terms of not just imports, but exports. And in terms of, you know, really the land side issues, I think we're already addressing those right now as we speak. I mentioned that we had the Panama Canal Stakeholders Working Group and the recommendations out of that group. Some of them are being implemented on the highway access issues. Major investments are taking place in Houston right now in some of the major corridors, key corridors. For instance, I-45, we have a lot of investments going on there. I-69, I-10, you know, that we have a lot of investments going on as we speak. And for instance, I-45 really is the main corridor that connects kind of the inland port of Dallas to the Texas ports of Houston, Galveston, and Texas City. So we see that continuing to play a bigger and bigger role when Panama Canal opens, you know, next year, but also other corridors like I-10. I-10 going west serves as kind of the energy sector corridor. A lot of energy sector movement between Eagle Ford Shale and the Port of Houston occurs on I-10, as well as some on I-69, but I-10 primarily between Houston and past San Antonio.
So can you give us some examples of projects on these highways that are underway or recently completed? Mostly capacity expansion projects?
Yeah, mostly capacity expansion projects, but also some of it are more operational in nature. And looking at, you know, addressing things like interchange bottlenecks. And Houston has quite a few freight bottlenecks, and primarily those on the interchanges on the interstate. So we have several projects looking at addressing those in the Houston area.
Are you also working on rail projects?
A lot of the rail projects are primarily the private railroads themselves that are generally doing rail projects. Primarily, we focus on the highway side, but I know, you know, UP Railroads and BNSF that serve a lot of the Texas ports, especially Houston, they have been very aggressive to ensure that their infrastructure is ready for the, you know, Panama Canal expansions. But I won't be able to speak on their behalf on the kinds of investments that they're making.
What about the intermodal terminals, the highway to rail, rail to highway? Are the access to those facilities, is that within your area of responsibility?
Yeah, those are some of the areas that we do work with the railroads to identify any issues or challenges, you know, access to rail intermodal facilities within corridors that serve the ports. We worked with the railroads identifying elimination or addressing at-grade rail crossings. We do work with the railroads on those issues anywhere that intersects the highway system, especially on the state system and also on the federal system. We definitely work with the railroads on those.
What are the main commodities that are moving through the Port of Houston, and how do you think that's going to change?
The main commodities moving through the ports are primarily agricultural products. And for the Port of Houston, it's one of the main ports for cotton. We are one of the biggest cotton producers in the country. And then a lot of grain, bulk grains going out of Port of Houston. Petrochemicals, you see a lot of that going out of Port of Houston as well. But in terms of opportunities, LNG, that's a big one now, you know, whereby you're seeing a lot of companies looking at export opportunities in the Texas Gulf. There's been discussions, and I think might be some of it exploring kind of retooling existing facilities that were meant for imports, now retooling those for exports of LNG to Asian markets and other markets across the globe. So I think those are where some of the growth opportunities are, but you're still going to see the majority of the movement be kind of existing products called agricultural value-added manufacturing, petrochemicals, et cetera.
So a lot of those are bulk commodities, dry bulk and liquid, and then the LNG, the liquefied natural gas. So I assume the LNG comes in by pipeline and then goes on the ships?
Yes, yeah, most likely. Yeah. The Houston area or the Texas Gulf has one of the most extensive pipeline infrastructure. So yes, a lot of it comes by pipeline, and you have a lot of petrochemical facilities along the Gulf, and a lot of it concentrated around the Houston region.
And what about the bulk agricultural products? Coming by rail or truck or some mixture?
Most of it by rail, but also, you know, there's some mixture, but primarily it's by rail because it's coming from like West Texas and other parts of the state and other parts of the country.
And from the point of view of the freight systems branch, what are the key bottlenecks that you see in front of you as we anticipate the expansion of the Panama Canal?
I think the key bottleneck is still going to continue to be on the highway side to be able to handle the amount of freight that's moving through the port, especially for the Houston area where we've seen an explosion in population growth and creating tremendous demands on the highway network in the region. So really the biggest bottleneck is going to be moving those products from the ports to points outside of Houston or even within Houston. We heard from a couple of stakeholders, especially those that move a lot of products between the Port of Houston and inland ports in Dallas, that it's becoming very challenging for their drivers to make two trips or come to Houston, pick up a load and drop it in Dallas. You know, they say that return trip is now extending to about 11 hours, which is cutting very close to the driver's hours of service. So congestion is going to be a challenge for moving those goods and products out of the ports to destinations beyond the region.
How are you financing the highway projects?
The financing here in Texas is predominantly, you know, public financing. To some extent, we do have some private funding through toll projects. But the bulk of funding in Texas is through public dollars, which is from gas tax. And also, we've had some influx of public financing last year as well as this year with the legislative session.
Ah, okay. So all things considered, do you think the freight system in the Gulf area is ready for the influx of these larger ships?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think so. You know, I think this is something that the stakeholders, both on the public and private sector side, have been working on for several years and looking at, you know, how and what needs to be in place to address the need for moving freight post-Panamax. So I think, yes, you know, the ports themselves have been working aggressively to address their own inside-the-gate issues, but also been working with public sector agencies, including the DOT and the locals at the city and county levels, to address some of the landside infrastructure issues as well.
Caroline Mays, thank you very much for giving us these insights. It looks like very exciting times for surface freight transportation in the Texas Gulf Coast area, and we look forward to watching what you're doing. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you, and you have a great afternoon.
Thank you.